pray with me wherever you are. Dear Lord, we are so grateful that despite all of the fear and anxiety and pain and sickness going on around us, Lord, you live in an age where we can still connect. Lord, we're grateful for YouTube this morning. We're grateful for the opportunity to see one another through a screen in formats like Zoom, God. And that sounds so silly to pray for, but we love your people, Lord. We love your people, and we are so excited for the day, God, when we get to be together in this room again, singing praises triumphant to our King, Lord. But even though you have providentially hindered us from gathering here this morning, we still bless your name. We know that you are good, that your sovereign purposes are redemptive, Lord. And our hope is in you, in all of this, God. So we beg you to keep our eyes open to what you are doing in our midst during this pandemic, Lord. We love you. Teach us to love you better. Please, God, break our hearts this morning through your word. Pierce us, challenge us, even as we sit in our living rooms, probably huddled around a laptop this morning, God. We pray that your word would change us. We love you. We trust you to accomplish your will this morning, this week, and this year. God, we love you. In Jesus' holy name. Amen.
Amen. Let's dig right into God's Word together. We are going to be starting out at the end of Matthew, and we'll be bouncing around a little bit, but in John's Gospel a little bit. Starting in Matthew 28, end of Matthew's Gospel. After his resurrection, before he ascended to the right hand of his Father, Jesus told his followers to make disciples who would make disciples, who would make disciples to the end of the age. He told them to make disciples of all nations. It says in Matthew 28:18, and Jesus came and said to them, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. We as followers of Jesus are to continue to make disciples who make disciples. Part of that disciple-making process is immersing them in the one name of the triune God. Another essential part of making disciples, according to this passage, is teaching them to observe everything I have commanded you. We're to make disciples and be disciples who obey everything that Jesus taught. So, I want to ask, and I hope this is helpful as we consider following Jesus and inviting others to follow Jesus, what did Jesus teach? What does it mean to be a follower of Jesus? What are some of the central things that Jesus taught that we need to observe and then pass on to others? Well, following Jesus is a lifetime commitment. I hope over the next several weeks to highlight just some of the central commands that Jesus gave us. My prayer is that this would be one useful piece in a lifetime that is characterized by following Jesus and inviting others to follow him with us. One thing you're going to notice as you get to know Jesus is that following him is so much more than believing things about him. Following Jesus, those are important things, but following Jesus is a relationship. It involves getting to know him, listening to Him, responding to Him by doing what He says. Now, in teaching all that Jesus commanded, we're not aiming for a Pharisaic rightness, knowing the right answers, with the ability to sniff out those who don't have it quite right and critique and criticize. That's not what we're after. Rather, what we're after is a humble, a steady, a quiet walking with Jesus. Notice Jesus did not say, teach them everything. He said, teach them to observe or obey or keep all that I have commanded you. That means that we are to walk it. We're to lead others in walking with Jesus. It's more than just knowing stuff. It's doing it. It's walking it. It's living it out. Now, we're starting a little series on obey Jesus. What does it mean to obey Jesus? And what did He command? When you hear words like command and obey, something in you might naturally raise walls of resistance, thinking, the last thing I need right now is more duty, more obligation, more requirements and responsibilities placed on me, more things to check off my list. Now, before you go there, listen to what Jesus says in Matthew 11, verse 28 to 30. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Jesus is inviting you to rest. He is inviting you to learn from Him, but He says that this is where you will really find rest for your soul. He's not riding behind you, adding to your load, cracking the whip to keep you pulling the load. He wants us to walk alongside Him, in the yoke with Him, doing life together with Him. He's willing to share your burden and thus make it lighter, not heavier. This doesn't mean there isn't a weight to pull and that you won't face difficulties along the way. But it does mean that you will never be alone in them. Jesus yokes Himself together with you and with I. Now I want to start today, as we look at obeying Jesus, the commands of Jesus, I want to start with one of Jesus' appearances to His disciples a week after, appropriately, His resurrection. His disciples were discouraged, confused, afraid, hiding behind closed doors. They were hearing rumors. Some of them claimed to have seen Jesus alive. That first Sunday evening, Resurrection Sunday, He appeared to the whole group of disciples, minus Thomas. John chapter 20, verse 25. So the other disciples told Him, Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." But He said to them, "Unless I see in His hands the mark of the nails, and place my finger in the mark of the nails, and place my hand into His side, I will never believe." See, Thomas refused to believe. In fact, he said, "Unless I have undeniable proof, I will never believe." John 20, verse 26 says, 8 days later. Now imagine a full week of doubting, questioning, measuring the week inclusively from Sunday to the following Sunday, 8 days. A full week of questioning, doubting, wondering. And that following Sunday, 8 days later, his disciples were inside again and Thomas was with them. Although the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and see my hands. Put out your hand and place it in my side. Do not disbelieve, but believe." Jesus was offering Thomas the proof that he had demanded, and he was commanding Thomas to believe. Believe what? Believe what? Well, look at the next verse. Thomas answered him, "My Lord and my God." Confronted with the irrefutable evidence, Thomas grapples with the implications of a man who had clearly been executed, had been buried, who was now alive in the flesh, standing right in front of him, retaining all the wounds of his execution. Peter had earlier confessed Jesus as the Christ, the Son of the living God. Here Thomas worships Jesus as God. He calls him my Lord, which is a connection with the Greek of the Old Testament, Yahweh, God's name, the I Am. Thomas addresses Jesus with the language of prayer, my Lord, my God. He's come to believe in Jesus as the I Am of the Old Testament, the Sovereign One of Israel. Jesus responds in verse 29, "Have you believed?" So Jesus is affirming what he believed. That's what he was after. Don't be unbelieving, but believe. "Have you believed that I am the I Am? That I am God? Have you believed because you have seen me? Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Now Jesus did, now John comments here, the gospel writer, "Jesus did many other signs in the presence of the disciples which are not written in this book, but these are written so that you, the reader, may believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in His name." So John here is giving the purpose. This is why he wrote what he wrote. He's recording signs that offer evidence that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, Yahweh of the Old Testament, the Word who was with God and who was God, who came in the flesh to save us. He writes so that we, his readers, would believe in Jesus. And Jesus himself pronounces a blessing on us who believe in him now, not having seen him ourselves, but believing the testimony of the eyewitnesses who did see him. Believe. We're commanded by Jesus to believe in him, to believe who he is. John chapter 3, where Jesus tells Nicodemus, "You must be born from above, born of the Spirit, born again." He reveals his identity to Nicodemus. John 3:14, "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." God gave his only Son, and whoever believes has eternal life. You must be born again. Jesus commands it. Jesus said in John chapter 5, that John bore witness about me, who I am. The mighty works I have done bear witness about me. The scriptures bear witness about me. The Father himself has borne witness about me. But he said in John 5:38, you do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe the one whom he has sent. You refuse to come to me that you may have life. See, Jesus is commanding us to believe in him, to come to him, to receive life, eternal life. He commands it. John chapter 7, verse 37. On the last day of the feast, the great day, Jesus stood up and cried out, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as the scripture has said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water." Now this he said about the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were to receive. Jesus invites the thirsty to believe in him, to come to him and drink, to have their need satisfied in him. Those who come, the Spirit will produce in them new and overflowing life. John chapter 8, addressing the Pharisees who refused to believe in him. Jesus said in John 8:24, "I told you that you would die in your sins. For unless you believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." Unless you believe that I am he. Literally, I am. This is the same phrase we find in the Greek translation of Exodus 3:14. I am who I am. Who shall I tell them the God of the Old Testament is? I am. The self-existent one. Jesus is demanding that they believe in him as the I Am, Yahweh of the Scriptures. Jesus makes this explicit down in verse 58, John 8:58, when he responds to their question. So the Jews said to him, "You are not yet 50 years old, and have you seen Abraham?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am." So they picked up stones to throw at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple. The Jews understood what he was saying, and they considered it blasphemy for any man to claim to be the I am of their scriptures. But this is exactly what Jesus was commanding them to believe. You must believe that I am, or you will die in your sins. John chapter 14, Jesus tells his disciples, "Let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me." He's inviting them, he's commanding them to believe as they believe in the Father, to believe also in his only Son. John 16, Jesus tells his followers that the coming Spirit will convict the world concerning sin because they do not believe in me. The sin that the world will be convicted of is unbelief toward Jesus. We are commanded to believe in Jesus, and to disobey this command means for us condemnation and death. In John chapter 6, people were pursuing Jesus, not because they believed in him, but because he was feeding them. This is right after he fed the multitudes. John 6, verse 26, Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, you are seeking me not because you saw signs, but because you ate your fill of the loaves. Do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you. For on him God the Father has set his seal. Jesus tells them, labor for eternal food, not temporary food. Don't chase me around looking for a free meal. Look to the everlasting bread that the Lord gives. And he says, I'm the bread of life. They ask him here in response to what he's saying, work for the food that endures to eternal life. They say, what must we do to be doing the works of God? You told us to work for the food that endures to eternal life. What do we need to do? What is the work of God that we need to do? Jesus answered them, this is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. What do we need to do? This is what I'm commanding you to do. Believe in me. Believe in Jesus. But these same people who had eaten the multiplied loaves, who were seeking Jesus because of the great signs he did, turn around and ask him in response for a sign. Verse 30. So they said to him, then what sign do you do that we may see and believe you? What work do you perform? We scratch our heads wondering at their unbelief. How could you eat the loaves that he multiplied and ask, as if that wasn't enough, ask for another sign? Well, if we're going to believe in you, you need to do something pretty cool. Did you miss that? Jesus was not surprised. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me shall not hunger. Whoever believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me. And whoever comes to me, I will never cast out. Jesus is not surprised by their unbelief. He says, all that the Father gives me, those are the ones who will come to me, who will believe in me. Jesus says in John 6:44, no one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him. And I will raise him up on the last day. No one can come. John 6:63. Jesus says, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. Something we will see as we look at the commands of Jesus is that obeying Jesus is not something that is hard to do. It's not difficult. It's impossible. We can't obey Jesus. You see, back in Matthew 16, when Peter confessed Jesus as the Christ, Son of the living God, Jesus responded to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. Peter, you didn't come up with that on your own. The flesh is no help at all. It's the Spirit who gives life. That truth was revealed to Peter by God himself. In Mark chapter 10, we have the story of a man who comes running up to Jesus, asking him what he needs to do in order to inherit eternal life. And when Jesus shows his followers how difficult it is to trust him completely, you see, this man ran to Jesus, but he went away sad, not believing. When Jesus shows his disciples how difficult it is for anyone to trust him completely, says in Mark 10:26, they were exceedingly astonished and said to him, "Then who can be saved?" Jesus looked at them and said, "With man, it is impossible. Who can be saved?" You're right. With man, it is impossible. The flesh is no help at all. But not with God, for all things are possible with God. It is not difficult to obey Jesus, to believe in Him, to trust Him. It's impossible. But not with God. It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh is no help at all. Just before this, in Mark chapter 10, His disciples were rebuking those who were bringing children to Him. He's too important for that. But when Jesus saw it, He was indignant and said to them, "Let the little children come to Me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it." You see, we must come to Jesus as a child, expectant, eager to receive His gift, not trying to earn it or work for it or deserve it. Become like a child. Ask Him to give you His Spirit. Ask Him to give you the faith to let go of whatever else you're holding on to and trust in Him completely. Everyone who asks receives. So ask. Come to Him like a child and ask. Ask for Him, for the faith to believe in Him as He's commanded you to do. The most important thing Jesus commands His followers is that we come to Him, that we believe in Him, that we take Him at His word, believe He is who He claims to be, who He demonstrated Himself to be. Whoever believes in Him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. So believe today, believe in Jesus. Believing is the way of life for the follower of Jesus. We're to walk by faith. So what does it mean? What does it mean to walk day by day believing in Jesus? If Jesus commands us to believe in Him, and we believe in Him, we must continue to believe in Him. Believing that Jesus is the I Am. Believing that He is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Not just knowing it to be true, but truly walking in light of that truth. Knowing that He is with us. Knowing that He will never leave us or forsake us. What does that look like? If you truly believe in Jesus, that He is the I Am, my Lord and my God, God become flesh to save you, that He is with you always to the end of the age. If you really believe that, it will change everything. It will change what you treasure, what is most important to you. It will change what you are afraid of. It will change your attitude, your outlook. It will change how you love, how you serve others. It will change how you think, how you feel, how you act. His yoke is easy, and His burden is light. And when we walk beside Him, believing in Him, we find rest for our weary souls. Would you pray with me? Father, thank you for sending your only Son, Jesus, to be our rescuer, our Redeemer, and our King. Thank you, Jesus, that you, who were God from all eternity, became one of us in order to pay our price to save us. And you didn't stay dead. You rose from the dead. And you spent 40 days teaching your disciples. And then you ascended to the right hand of your Father in glory. And now you're there, always interceding for us. And yet you are God omnipresent, always here with us. Lord, you command us to believe. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. Lord, we say we believe. So seldom do we actually act like we believe. Encourage our hearts in you. Give us the faith to walk in a manner fully pleasing to you, to demonstrate by our actions, by our attitudes, by our emotions, by what we say and do and think and feel, that we believe you, that we believe in you, that our trust is in you, our confidence is completely in you, that you are our King. Help us, O mighty Savior. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you for joining us. God bless you.